Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the jalopy of free speech, because we we speak about this, we speak about that, then we just put it all together for your listening enjoyment. And if you want to continue that enjoyment, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. So, this is going to be a show with Dr. David Duke. The first part of the show, we were just talking, and then at the end of our conversation said, hey, that would have been good if, I said, it would have been good if we recorded it. And he said, yeah, and then said, oh, wait a minute. I automatically recorded it. So he went back, and I think he deleted a few cuss words that we used here and there. That can happen. But anyway, so we've got that. And then that went well, but it was only, 28 minutes or so. So we recorded a bit more yesterday filled in the gaps. So without further ado, here is that discussion.
We know who, as you talk about, the six of the seven top cabinet positions were given to Jews. We know that eight of the nine biggest contributors to Joe Biden in the last days of the campaign were Jews. 18 and 20 of the contributors to, we know that the biggest contributor to Trump was a Jew, Sheldon Adelson. We know the fact that, you know, they dominate the international media. I mean, this is not refutable by any source, but it is dangerous to Jews.
Well, even with the Jewish thing, it's not so much a conspiracy as it is a taboo.
Yeah.
It's not allowed to talk about it.
Now, I think it's fair to say it's in some ways conspiratorial, because they are very careful to refute the idea that it's a conspiracy. In fact, that's why they have this term called conspiracy theory. They basically say that anybody that dares to say anything about Jews, that's a conspiracy theory. But they have vast conspiracy law, what Goldman Sachs is prosecuted for, international conspiracy, fraud. But they associate, so there is a conspiracy to associate anybody who talks about Jews. There is a conspiracy to have them to just call it a conspiracy.
I don't even consider that really so much a conspiracy. Because a conspiracy, I think people have to be, like, willing, knowing, accomplices to some sort of explicit plan. I don't think any of this is explicit. I think this is just their natural group behavior. That they're just naturally very protective, and they enforce a taboo rather than, I don't think there's any secret agreement. Okay, you do this, you do that. I don't think anybody's giving anybody any instructions.
Well,
I think it's just their behavior.
Yeah, okay, but let's.
And that there's a lot, you know.
But that's underneath the top, isn't that underneath the top? I mean, it's just like Joel Stein's article in the Los Angeles Times, right? I don't care if people know that you're running the media. I just care that we keep running them. I mean, it's like the people at the top, the Jews at the top, know that they have huge influence on social media.
They know. Okay, so they know they have huge influence. So,
and they conspire to keep that secret.
I don't know. Joel Stein, he's not keeping a secret. I mean, I think there's a natural tendency. I don't think they need a conspiracy. And I don't think the people at the top, at so-called at the top, are issuing directives to anybody.
People at the top, the real insiders, you know, the true people who had Google and get the ADL to do it, or enforce ADL over Twitter, and the people in politics, really. And there's some people do it. Mersheimer and Walt talked about the Jewish lobby and how it dominated politics. Okay? Absolutely. But they could only call it a lobby. They didn't really ever associate that with Jews. In fact, they went out of their way to say that, now that wasn't a conspiracy. That was because that's the only way they could function. That's the only way they could get out what they wanted to say.
That's not a conspiracy.
No, but it's a conspiracy that the people who control things will make sure that you can't even say Jewish lobby without being called anti-Semitic.
Right. It's a taboo. There is a taboo. The taboo is enforced by their group behavior. They don't need to do a conspiracy.
Yeah, but in a way, group behavior is a conspiracy, though, isn't it? I mean, this is part of the argument.
It's just we probably have slightly different definitions of what a conspiracy is. Right?
Yeah.
I have my definition is probably slightly different from yours, and that's probably
what's a price fixing conspiracy? that's where companies get together and purposely try to arrange so their prices go up or down together so that their market share is protected or increased or whatever, right? That would be called a conspiracy.
Explicit there. There'd be some sort of explicit agreement.
Yes, explicit, but also can be secret. You know, it's, they don't tell right. the world. It's against the law. But maybe people underneath that see these prices and then they set their own prices that way because they know that's the only way they can compete with these other places. If they don't, then they're going to have a lot of pushback, right? And so they go along with it. Other companies that
and are, so those people who are going along with it are not part of the conspiracy.
Exactly. I agree with that. But at the root, you know, at the root, I believe that the Jews know exactly what's really going on here. That some underling Jews may not understand all that. That's all true. But they're willing servants of this conspiracy because they don't dare talk about it or mention it. I mean, just the fact that the average Jew in the New York Times will not even let you acknowledge the fact that Jews have a built-in bias because they control the New York Times, our biggest newspaper.
Here's the thing. I think there are some Jews who probably have a pretty similar understanding to us. I don't think that these are necessarily the top Jews. I think somebody like Sheldon Adelson, he has the smarts to make himself a rich Jew, but does he necessarily understand things? I mean, somebody like...
I think the head of the ADL understands it all. And he knows that Israel's a demographic state. He knows that they say they're for human rights against racism, but they know Israel's a racist state.
Maybe he does, but you could have somebody like the head of the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, act exactly the way he acts, not based on understanding, but based on believing all of the Jewish bullshit about the Holocaust and always being persecuted. And he could have the exact same behavior by believing the bullshit rather than understanding the truth.
He could have the same behavior, but I think it's impossible for rational men with the knowledge they have, and they know the real positions of Israel on all these subjects. I don't think it's possible or it's reasonable to suggest that they're just sucked in by the... they're just sucked in by the propaganda. Who ultimately puts out this propaganda? You go to Wikipedia. Go to the stuff that the ADL writes about anti-Semitism. Just go to these things. And they know right is lies. Abraham Froxman had to know it. Greenblatt's got to know it. It's lies. Jews do dominate the media. And when they start saying they don't, then they dominate the economic system of this country. And they absolutely have a stranglehold on campaign financing. They know this. They can't help but know it. It is true that the AIPAC is not the biggest lobby. They used to be bigger than they are now, proportionally. But they realize that all they got to do is be a clearinghouse to figure out who to tell the Jewish billionaires to give the money to and be the ones who decide who gets the money and who doesn't. You know? But they don't let that out. And that's a conspiracy. It's the same way as price fixing. The companies that price fix are not going to tell people and tell the world that they're price fixing. And these Jews know that if people knew that Jews were fixing the election, so to speak, like they fixed the 2020 election, both in media and in financing, right, and other illegal aspects of suppressing the vote and increasing the vote in certain other demographics, they knew that that would be their undoing. So they made sure that that didn't happen, and they clamped down on anybody who dared to do that, just like they blocked Facebook pages, just like they blocked Twitter accounts, just like they blocked, you know, YouTube videos. I mean, when they decided that Joe Biden was going to be the president rather than Bernie Sanders, for whatever reasons they decided, you know, this was a conspiracy. It wasn't because they thought Joe Biden was necessarily the smartest guy. Joe Biden served their interests. They didn't tell the public what they were doing. The major media didn't tell the public, well, we're with Joe Biden because we hate Donald Trump. They didn't tell the public that. They didn't tell the Biden that we're going to do this. We're going to hide the stuff about Hunter Biden. We're going to hide the stuff. We're going to have a unified thing. I mean, the New York Times is going to be writing articles how the Hunter laptop is Russian disinformation. Double lie, right? Not only was it not Russian, which Russians being blamed, Jewish manipulation, suppression – of the information that people needed to make a good choice of the next president. This would be a good subject for us to talk about. We ought to do a show either today or tomorrow, a tape show for Monday, if you like.
We can do that. So, okay, and here's the last thing I'm going to say. This is kind of what I'll leave you with.
Huh?
So, Jonathan Greenblatt.
Yeah.
He could know exactly what he's doing, or because he knows the truth, or he could be doing the exact same thing because he believes the lies. Okay, let me get this thought out. Okay, or it could be either way, but the fact of the matter is, whether he's motivated by knowledge of the truth or believing the bullshit, what he does enforces the taboo. Everything he does is destructive to white interests. And, you know, when you look at what's going on, you could explain it by conspiracy, or you could explain it by natural group behavior. But at the end of the day, that's not what's important. What is important is demonstrating that they are acting in ways that are destructive to us. And it really doesn't matter if it's due to conspiracy or due to something else. So I'm not really interested in proving a conspiracy and saying that they have a conspiracy. What I'm interested in doing is showing that, yes, indeed, these, you know, 16 out of the top 20 contributors were Jews. Yes, indeed, they are pushing Hillary Clinton or whomever to have certain policies that are destructive to whites, not just about Israel, but, you know, about immigration, about homosexuality, about all sorts of things.
And well, that's yes, what whether I'm, it's public or private conspiracies, you know, do exist. And one person
exist. And so this could be conspiracy. It could be something else. But that's not the, I don't want to get.
Yeah, I guess it depends on your definition. Is it that conspiracy?
Not, might be I don't want to get secret. Distracted by things I can't prove, because I can't prove the conspiracy, but I can prove that the behavior is destructive. That Jews are responsible, whether it's because of conspiracy or something else, Jews are responsible for these policies, and these policies are destructive to us. And that's what I want to concentrate on. And because we can prove all that. We can prove that they're responsible, and we can prove that it's destructive to us. We can prove that. And so I'm not interested, like, to me, getting into a big rancor over whether it's a conspiracy or not, that doesn't interest me.
Okay, I love this discussion. You know, it's like I just looked up the definition to conspire.
Mm-hmm.
And the most popular verb of this, and this has changed, I bet you, over the years, a series of events or circumstances seem to be working together to bring about a particular result, typically to someone's detriment. Well, circumstances seem to be working together to bring about a particular result in the destruction of our race. Now, they define to conspire in a verb as, this is definition, make secret plans jointly to commit an unlawful or harmful act. They conspired against him. Or they conspired against, you know, the United States. Or they conspired against Russia. Or they conspired against... Part of the issue is the secrecy part of it. Now, I would argue that secrecy would be a component of this, even if the fact that they wanted to destroy Russia, and they said they wanted to destroy Russia, like what they do right now in this world war, that was still a conspiracy against Russia. But because they didn't say it was simply because they hated Russia because of ethnic reasons or because it threatened Jewish power, but they said they were against Russia because Russia was against freedom, but they loved to convert with Saudi Arabia. I mean, a very, you know, horrific, tyrannical state, which is not free. They love to support an evil state in Ukraine, calling it free. So they're lying. So in effect, the entire Ukraine war is a war based on secrecy. It's really a war for Jewish hegemony. They'll never say that. It's really a war to destroy Russia. They do say that to a degree, but they don't say that in terms of the common argument. What they say is it's a war for democracy, and it's a war against these evil Russians who are just killing people for no reason, or unprovoked war. So I would argue that even in the traditional definition of a conspiracy dealing with secret plans or secret aspects of the plan to be a justifiable word. Now, conspiracy is made into a bad word. It's made into a negative word, unless you talk about conspiracy to sex traffic or something, or price fix. Yeah, and here's a thing that I just looked up on Google. Conspire is usually used negatively, but it can also be used to refer to people working together in secret to do something that's not so evil, like when your friends conspire to throw you a surprise party. And what here's another definition. What does it mean to conspire with someone? I love to just go back to the definitions once in a while. To make an agreement with others, especially in secret, to do an unlawful act or act in the benefit of a particular entity, particular group. Events conspire to spoil our plans. Conspire. Here's another one, definition Merriam-Webster. It's a secret agreement or to do unlawful or wrongful act, like starting a war, by the way, which becomes unlawful as a result of this secret arrangement. And that's exactly what I think took place in the Iraq War.
And so the thing is, there you were saying secret agreement. And I don't know if there's a secret agreement or not, and I don't even care that much if there's a secret agreement.
There's certainly a secret agreement. It's not the reason they give for the Iraq War, but there is a secret agreement among all these neocons to advance the interests of Israel, which is not totally secret, but it's certainly not with the way they present the war.
Okay, so here's, you've heard the term tacit arrangement, tacit agreement. And a tacit is a musical term. A tacit is where you don't strike the chord. Like the beat would require a note to be somewhere, but a tacit, you don't have the note. And the silence there takes the place of the sound. And so,
oh, that's all true. I agree with you there. I mean, the definition of this blog.
Is a tacit agreement, are tacit arrangements, are they conspiracies?
I think that the neocons were very explicit, but they were not explicit to the public in what they claimed the reasons for the Iraq War was. Weapons of mass destruction. It was a lie. And I think they knew it was a lie. Some of them maybe didn't because they believed, drank their own Kool-Aid. Now, another synonym for conspire is collude, compass, connive, contrive, intrigue, machinate, plot, scheme. I think that's exactly what the neocons did. They colluded.
Well,
they connived. They contrived. They intrigued.
Hey, I use the word scheme all the time. I don't use the word conspire, but I use the word
scheme. That is a definition. And that's one of the synonyms of conspire.
In fact, like one of the things on RBN that I'm known for is saying, I'm sick of talking about Jews. I would love to stop talking about Jews.
Yes.
And I tell you what, if I agree that I will stop talking about Jews if Jews agree to stop scheming against the Goyim. I'm always saying that. If I'll stop talking about Jews, I'll stop bitching about Jews if they stop scheming against the Goyim.
It may be a tactical imperative, an important tactical method, and I'm willing to argue this and think about this and contemplate this with you and other intellectuals on this subject, because there's a difference between tactics in a war and truth in a war, right? But there may be a tactical advantage, and I've always used that tactical advantage. What I've always said in my whole political life is that, and I still say this today pretty much, it's not a question, just it's not a conspiracy.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I've always used that tactical advantage. What I've always said in my whole political life is that, and I still say this today pretty much, it's not a question, just it's not a conspiracy, right? It's simply Jewish power.
Yeah.
The truth is, but at the same time, if I think about it in a rational way, the nature of this takeover is one that where they don't tell the truth. They lie, and mm-hmm. they have these secret objectives, which everybody that's involved with, not everybody, but the people at the top, certainly, the people that are formulated. I mean, when Richard Pearl wrote Securing the Realm, right? This is a paper for Israel. To get America into the war against Iraq to secure the realm of Israel, the boundaries of Israel, the area around Israel, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not what he used to advocate the Iraq war. It was Iraq was weapons of mass destruction. They were a danger to America, that they were going to build an atomic bomb, you know, that they posed a huge threat to the United States, which they didn't. They were actually our ally, right? But they did pose a huge threat to Israel. So you're right, some of the Jews underneath that. But I do believe that any cognizant Jew, and a lot of Jews are smart.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that this was, in effect, a conspiracy. And I'm not saying whether this is the right tactic that we should use to say conspiracy.
Well, because I don't want what we talk about to fall into the category of conspiracy theories.
That's right. And that's a very justified and a very interesting, you know, thing to entertain. And I'm not against that principle. In fact, that's what I followed most of my life. I avoid the word conspiracy. I talk about Jewish supremacy. That's not conspiracy. That's just pure fact. But the reason why Jewish supremacy works is because even though it's a loose confederation in many ways, the fundamental goals of Jews were all power, financial, economic, which they openly state about, like in the World Jewish Congress, that these things are real, that they definitely want us to go to war. In these wars, that they feel protect Israel, that protect their interest in America, that increase their financial power, that increase their political power, increase their media power, right? And I think that there is an understanding of this. Now, whether it's not a room, and I agree with Solzhenitsyn, you know, even though Solzhenitsyn said it's amazing how the protocols are so, you know, prophetic. That's what he said. He said the protocols are pretty raw, you know, and they're pretty crude. But what's amazing is that all the things that the protocols alleged that Jewish objectives were, they've methodically achieved. Yeah, but he didn't believe it was a room full of Irlog Jews. But at the same time, there's like an unspoken understanding. Like every Jew, like not every Jew, again, and some Jews don't get on board with it, you know, but there is an unspoken understanding that Jewish interest was to go to war against Iraq. Jewish interest was to promote an Iraq war against Iran. Jewish interest was not to have a nuclear agreement with, even though some Jews disagreed, with Iran. It's Jewish agreement that Russia needs to be destroyed and to create in the minds of American people that Russia is interfering in elections, even though that's patently absurd, that Jews interfere in elections. So, you know, I'm to the point where I'm saying to you, and this is an interesting discussion, I hope you're enjoying it like I am, because I'm enjoying it, that it doesn't matter if it's a conspiracy or not, even though there's elements to it where people can certainly make the position that there is a conspiracy, in other words, a not completely defined, but certainly there's an effort by organized Jewish groups that combine with a unified approach to many major issues, like LGBTism, which somehow they feel that that's an advantage to the Jewish community and a disadvantage to us, apparently, because they don't allow it for Israel, right? So that may be important for us to kind of, now those kind of things, that we're not revealing our strategy there. But for those that see a lot of people, see, I think that conspiracy has a bad word today because Jews use conspiracy theory in a disreputable way. There might even be a conspiracy of Jews to create disreputable conspiracy theories. How about that one? How about that? I'm saying this is a real compliment to you, and I guess a compliment to myself too, but I really don't think that there's two people in this entire world who could have had as good a discussion about this as you and I had in the last half an hour. I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah, and I don't think there are a lot of people who understand this as well as we do. And this is something I've been kind of coming to grips with because, you know, when I was 40, I had my midlife crisis. Now I'm kind of having my whatever my crisis is now. And it's like, well, okay, there's a lot of things I wanted to do I couldn't do, but I actually have a better understanding of the most critical issue facing the world than practically anybody.
You and me.
And I know. So people don't understand it. I'm at the very top of the political thing and I'm explaining this stuff to somebody who is at least is receptive. But these people don't know this.
And I have no
truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Food's primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Every time some psychopath goes out and shoots multiple people, half the country screams for more gun control. I have some questions. How is it that so many of the mass shooters have had multiple encounters with police and or the FBI, yet still get the guns to commit these horrible crimes? Maybe we need to enforce lying on the background check paperwork. That is a felony that is rarely prosecuted. Is there any oversight for the companies and groups that are required to report to the National Instant Background Check System? Maybe antipsychotic medication should be a disqualifying condition for gun ownership. In short, rather than making it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to exercise their Second Amendment rights, how about we focus on psychopath control? Support transparency from Congress by visiting liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46. Until tomorrow, see this possum parabellum.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
I know, so people don't understand it. I'm at the very top of political thing, and I'm explaining this stuff to somebody who is at least is receptive. But these people don't—they don't know this. And I don't think the Chinese know. I think the people around Putin have probably a good understanding because Russians have that 200 years together or whatever, right?
Even Putin, I think, makes a lot of fundamental mistakes as long as the Russians.
I think there are too many
Jews around Putin as well. There are Jews.
But the thing is, there's a lot of Jews around him. He has to deal with things.
Yeah.
And the things he does are probably, they're not based on lack of understanding. They're based on a calculation. Whether it's a good calculation or not is debatable. But I think it's based on calculation rather than lack of understanding. Whereas I think the Chinese, the Japanese, most of the people in the world, it's lack of understanding.
This is one of the most important things we could talk about and one of the most interesting discussions I've ever had with you, I think. I think it's very, very important. And by the way, again, I've always kind of taken your current position more. I kind of dismiss the thing that it's conspiracy because it's not a conspiracy in the idea that people think about it and the way the media creates conspiracy. Right. So I always say, like what I'm commonly saying, you know, Jews have totally controlled the New York Times for the last 120 years. Fact. Right. Just the reality of it since 1895. And so they've controlled the New York Times, totally controlled it. Right. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's fact. And I don't have to say it's even a conspiracy fact. That's just fact. That the New York Times, and we're not saying that everything the New York Times has always worked to the benefit of Jews, everything they wrote.
And there has been some goy intermarriage into that family.
Well, there is, but again, the goy that intermarries into the Jewish family is generally more pro-Jew because they have to prove themselves.
That's true. I just want you to be aware.
But that's a pretty good comeback to that one, isn't it? That's what we do together that no other people can do, and no other, I think, two people in the world can do as well.
It's It has to be done, and it's we don't get the glory, we don't get the riches and the accolades, but it's work that has to be done, and I've just kind of reconciled myself to that. That like I didn't grow up to become president or whatever. I know you didn't grow up to become president, but somebody had to do this.
Somebody did, and we're doing, I believe, a vital role historically and in contemporary life.
Okay, wasn't that special? Let us move on now to part two of that conversation, and here it goes.
So, we're back. This recording, we're following up on what you just heard in the first part of the show, which was recorded, I guess, on was that recorded on Friday or Saturday of July?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't make any difference. We're going to be going on right now on your program, so I'm happy to go into. We know what we talked about. That's the main thing. Right. We'll definitely want to talk about some more things.
As people heard, we were talking about how whether Jewish power is conspiratorial, whether it's natural. So we've done that discussion. And then we just recorded a show that you can hear on, I guess it would be the July 18th show for David Duke, where we talked an awful lot about Zionism. What does it mean? And that's going to spill over into this conversation. And the point I was making is Zionism means different things to different people. In the narrowest sense, it is a Jewish nationalist movement centered around Jewish movement into Israel. But other people use it in a broader sense of Jewish power. And I don't really want to get into like nitty gritty of what Zionism means to this person or that person. But what's important is that Jewish power is this a central organizing feature of world politics. And without an understanding of Jewish power, whether you want to call it Zionism or something else, you're not going to be able to understand world politics properly. And, mm-hmm. And finally, if you were to look at the narrow definition of Zionism, which is centered a national movement of Jews moving to Israel, we've got lots and lots of problems caused by Jews that have nothing to do with Jews going to Israel. You know, our own immigration, our own, you know, the replacement of white people, the indoctrination that blacks are morally superior, all of this stuff, the homosexuality and the trannyism, all of this stuff is pushed by Jews and doesn't really have anything directly to do with Israel or Zionism, but it is part of Jewish power.
Well, exactly right, and I think my take on this would be the following, is that it's true that about 80%, according to the polls we see with Pew Research and these other research polling things, Jews are very big into polling. And they say 80% of Jews are very, very, very supportive of Israel. About 20% don't always support Israel. But I would argue that even the Jews that don't support the policies of Israel, I think there's many, many Jews that would believe that we should send Israel whatever weapons they need if they were threatened, whereas they wouldn't want to do the same thing to any other country that was threatened necessarily, unless they saw it directly in Jewish interests. And I would argue that even the Jews who are, in many ways, egalitarians or present that kind of vision and are more some of the more Marxist in orientation, I would say that many, many, many of those are still have a fundamental kind of cultural, even in some ways religious kind of commitment or loyalty to Jews, which they're trained in from birth, whether or not they're specifically supporting the state of Israel, the latest war of Israel or the policies of Israel or the wars created by the state of Israel and the Jewish neocons and neoliberals who created the Iraq war. So, and I think this was a very, very important point that you brought up on my show, that even a Jew doesn't have to be, a Jew can be a Zionist and still be a liberal on many areas. A Jew can be a Zionist and be a conservative. A Jew can be a Zionist and be libertarian. A Jew can be a Zionist.
A Jew could be a non-Zionist.
Exactly.
And still support a lot of Jewish stuff.
Yeah,
right.
And support the Jewish community, Jewish mm-hmm. connection, and to look at a fellow Jew in when it comes down to appointing somebody to a position in a company, or in a position in a university if they're on the selection committee for the appointment, or they're a member of a for instance a board of directors in a corporation, that they feel this sense of loyalty to fellow Jews, because every Jew has grown up in a indoctrination, a propaganda indoctrination that Jews are always being killed, that Jews have a history of being persecuted and murdered and oppressed, and that Jews have suffered greatly, and the tears are cried and cried and cried, and they've all seen the movies of Jewish suffering, and they have an emotional attachment to Jews that even go beyond any aspect of Israel. Now, they do sell the Israel thing as being a way to support Israel. You got to support Israel because Jews have to have their own state. That's the only way Jews will be safe. But at the same time, the what goes on in terms of Jewish interest and Jewish solidarity and Jewish love of Jews and Jewish fear of Goyim is something that goes way, way, way beyond Zionism itself or the policies of the state of Israel. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, exactly. And in 15 or 20 years ago, I was going to a lot of anti-war demonstrations, anti-Iraq war, or just in general, or even pro-Palestinian stuff. Mm-hmm. And there would be these Jews from organizations, groups like Jewish Voices for Peace, like Tikkun Olam, like, you know, the BDS movement. A lot of Jews are involved in the BDS movement. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of these Jews you might still want to describe as Zionists because they're just kind of they're just want to cash in their chips. They're not going for double or nothing. They've got a state. They're content with a small state of Israel for the time being. And they're fine with Palestine having a state or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I saw a poll of, by the way, I saw a poll of J Street, which is the most prominent so-called anti-Zionist or anti-Israel lobby, and they said half of the people that were J Street supporters were anti-BDS.
Yeah. So, I mean, J Street is on the spectrum of Jewish organizations. J Street is kind of, in terms of their support for Israel, I mean, they're still support Israel, but they with a certain amount of accommodation. They're kind of realistic in certain ways. They want to appear reasonable, whereas a lot of the you know, the Sheldon Adelson types, they don't care if they appear reasonable. They're going all out. But the point is that you even in these organizations or in other organizations, you can find Jews who really don't even support Israel, don't care about Israel.
There are some Jews out there like that.
And yet. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are on board with our program. They can still be pro open borders and pro gayness and pro trannyism and pro white shame, and you know, but you know, they might just
are all policies, by the way, that enhance the power of Jews to have supremacy in society, right? Supremacy in media, culture, government, and positions of power and influence.
Yeah,
correct.
Policies that these individuals are judging is good for the Jews. Because
you've got to overcome the white elite, right? To make way for the Jews having supremacy in America, you got to get rid of the whites who have the positions of power, correct?
Yeah, you have to do that. And, you know, for some Jews, even if they're thinking of what's good for the Jews, and I think that Jews are much more inclined to think of what's in their group interests, certainly than whites. And for some Jews, in their calculus, Israel, at least the way Israel carries on, isn't good for the Jews. Israel's a problem for the Jews, according to some of these people, because its behavior is so outrageous.
But again, it's a small percentage there.
But the thing is, the people, some of the people who come to this conclusion that Israel's not really good for the Jews because it's so outrageous and it's rocking the boat when the diaspora has it so good. The diaspora has never had it better in America and in Europe. They've never had it better. And these, you know, crazy Jews, Likudniks in Israel stirring up potentially anti-Semitism with these wars for Israel and the outrageous behavior. And so, you know, you have some Jews who, in their calculus, the behavior of Israel is so bad that Israel's not really good for the Jews, so they don't support Israel, but still are thinking what's good for the Jews. And, you know, they still support, like, hate speech laws and censorship and immigration and all these other things that are so toxic to our
and all these people. Even a good example is Noam Chomsky, right? Mm-hmm. More from the Marxist kind of point of view, but just like he's absolutely almost like a classic infiltrator in a sense, or he was like the controlled opposition that Orwell would talk about, because here he is saying that it's just corporate power in America. That's why, you know, we have, you know, that's why they support the Zionist state. It has nothing to, he's trying to say, it has nothing to do with Jewish power. It's nothing to do with Jewish ethnic supremacy and ethnic the calls of Jews to be loyal to Jews and to be interested in the interests of Jews and all these organizations by the thousands supporting Jewish interests. Oh, no, it's just corporate power. And that is a way, by saying that, what he's doing is he's preventing any proper resolution of the Zionist issue when it comes to Palestine, because you cannot divorce Jewish power and media and government and corporate power in like social media, for instance, and blocking people that criticize the crimes of Israel or the racism that exists in Israel. If you cannot address that subject, you really can't do anything practical to end it. So when Chomsky says, oh, no, no, it's not Jews, it's just corporate power, that is a way that actually defends the Jewish position and helps people from recognizing the real issue in confronting us. Is that right?
Yes. And Chomsky, of course, is extremely prominent. And yeah, he spins all these narratives that address problems that people can see, but address them in a way that doesn't blame Jewish power. It finds alternative explanations for what actually Jewish power is doing. Yesterday, Mark Dankoff sent me an article from somebody who's not well known here.
By the way, we said 15 minutes. You want to go an extra five on this segment? Do you think we can make it?
We'll finish it up with this. And so he sent me an article from a Jew named Emanuel Pastreich. Mm-hmm. And he's not well known in America, but he actually is fairly prominent in Asia. And he speaks, mm-hmm. I think, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. I think he's probably at least fluent in Japanese and Korean. And he wrote in...
Jews have special talent for languages.
I'm sure he's very intelligent.
I think it's part of Jewish survival. I think they're bred for that because they lived among other populations for years. Yeah. And those Jews who are more facilitous in language adaption and understanding, it really gave them a good advantage to survival and success.
I think many of them are excellent linguists. Yes. And this Emanuel Pastreich, he wrote an article in the Korea Times, I guess it was from 2018, The Rise of Christian Zionists in Government and the Collapse of Chain and Command. Well, he's making this whole, this is what he says. I'm just going to read one sentence. The Trump administration makes policy and manages the federal government through the combined effort of two distinct groups, a small group of the super rich and a spreading network of radicalized Christian Zionists. So, you know, he really emphasizes Christian Zionists, who he alternatively calls Christian fascists. Okay. And so our foreign policy, our pro-Israel policy has nothing to do with Jews. You know, oh yeah, there are some Jews who have been prominent in foreign policy. Kissinger, they still wheel out Kissinger even in his advanced age, you know, completely ignoring that you got the three top people in the State Department today are Jews. And it was the same story in the Biden administration. And so, you know, that's just, he's just one small example, but he's like Chomsky in that he weaves all these narratives that address real problems that people can see, but offer some explanations that aren't centered on Jews or Jewish power, that ignore Jewish power, and they give you alternatives. So if it's not Chomsky's corporate power and military industrial complex, it's him with the super rich, meaning Jeff Bezos and the Koch brothers.
Let me give you my analysis on that too, and let me give a reputation for our listeners on that subject, which I think is a very important subject, because you always hear this. You know, they say, well, it's not the Jews, it's those Christian Zionists and so forth. Well, that's the biggest lie ever, because Jews are constantly, like this Jew, for years and years and years, Jews have been telling us how Christianity is the evil enemy of Jews and how Jews are anti-Semitic. I mean, excuse me, Christians are anti-Semitic and Christians are out to kill Jews and hurt Jews and they poison Jews and prosecute Jews and all these other things, right? So if you look at the history of the world up until the 20th century, Christian establishment was never pro-Jewish. If anything, the Catholic Church, Protestant Church, was very, in fact, overwhelmingly anti-Jewish. They blamed Jews as a group for the persecution and crucifixion of Christ. The New Testament's full of anti-Jewish passages. So how did this occur? Where did it come from, this pro-Zionist position, which is totally counter to the history of the Christian church in relationship to Jews, which is very, very directly opposite kind of a position. Jews were identified with the Antichrist from the beginning. The New Testament is considered anti-Semitic by Jewish scholars themselves. So where did this come from?
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's...
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Directly opposite kind of a position. Jews were identified with the Antichrist from the beginning. The New Testament is considered anti-Semitic by Jewish scholars themselves. So where did this come from? Well, it came with their control of the media and the purposeful use of creating organizations like the Organizations of Christians and Jews, which were all financed originally. Then they got stupid Christians to join in that financing. We're all started by Jews, promoted by Jews, and they also promoted, and in their power over the networks and the power over the cable TVs, they only let Christian evangelists propagate on the networks that dared to promote this Christian Zionist narrative. Mm-hmm. So this is a new phenomenon. It's never been a phenomenon in Christianity. So you can't blame Christian Zionists for Christian Zionism. It's Jews who infiltrated a lot of these Christian churches, infiltrated the powerful influencers of the Christian churches and these organizations. The Organization of Christians and Jews is run and completely controlled by Jews. And so it's important to note that even so-called Christian Zionism is not an organic part of the Christian church. It is something that was manufactured by Jewish power.
Yeah, and as you recall, because we used to talk about this a lot, the organization that's fronted by that fat guy from San Antonio, I forget his name, but Hagee. Christians United for Israel. Christians United for Israel. And who was the executive director? It was David Baruch, a first cousin of Barack, what's the guy, the former prime minister, Israeli prime minister, Ehud Barak. His first cousin.
And by the way, from an Israeli state, and thus let me make one point, an Israeli state that makes it against the law to proselytize for the Christian faith. They put people in prison in Israel for proselytizing. It's done everything they can to destroy Christianity. It doesn't have a single Christian in the cabinet of Israel, but you've got a lot of Christians in the cabinet, say, of Assad, which they made our enemy. So that's the answer to that question.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you for joining me today, Dr. Duke, and all the work you did editing that first half of the show.
It's going to be 20 minutes in 1 minute and 30 seconds. So if you want to make it a 20-minute segment, we got it.
All right. Well, I will say, how do people find and support your work? Because I don't ask for contributions for myself, but you need support.
Well, and I think you need support, too. And if people can, obviously anonymously or with cash, they could support you and they should support you and your work. And
I don't seek it. It's okay.
I know. Well, that's good. But, we have to pay for a lot of our time on our network. We in order to get it the control that we have and we need, we also have to finance our work, our meetings. I often speak at places like the League of the South without getting paid anything to go to those places. But we've got to finance that all ourselves. So those who want to contribute to this work can do it at Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. That's Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana. You can send cash, check, money order. You can go buy an anonymous money order at the post office and just write in there personal gift. It's not even taxable to us. So that's pretty cool. And we can use that money to do the work that we need to do and make possible that my show, my broadcast, and the work that we do that we both are using. You know, the reason I can do these things is the reason why we're doing this little interview with Dr. Slattery. And I'm thankful that we can continue that up and keep up the website, which costs money and effort and a huge amount of time to do it. And we need secretaries. We need work here. So thanks a lot, folks. And thanks to you, Dr. Slattery. You have been such a devoted person to our cause, and you're a devoted person to true human rights on this earth for European Americans, for all people.
And thank you, Dr. Duke. And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Barron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle